This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're here with Love Our Proud
with Z and G on Joy 94.9.
Guess who decided to drop in during that song, huh?
Incredible.
Luca. I know, Luca Muller just decided to drop in tonight.
It's me, guys.
How are we tonight?
I came and knocked down the door and said, I've got to get on the waves.
Exactly. We saw him wandering around down the street. Yeah, we had to because we're nice people down here at Love Our Proud.
We're proud of the people.
Yeah. How are we tonight, Luca?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you guys?
Great.
Really good.
Pretty good. You know, halfway point during the show.
Great. So it's pretty good. I'm pretty bad.
It'll decline from here. Yeah. So how are you, a Melbourne-born stand-up?
No, I started stand-up in Melbourne, but I grew up in a town called Echuca, which is in country Victoria.
Echuca. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Luca from Echuca. Yeah, they call me.
Oh, wow.
Wow, so at what point did you move to Melbourne?
About 4.5 years ago.
Wow. For solely stand-up?
Well, I told my parents I was going to university, which I did for, I don't know, 3 months or something. but I knew that I wanted to start stand-up because I'd sort of done a couple of gigs when I was in Echuca. And I was I was sort of reading online and looking at the stuff. And I was like, man, there's so much in Melbourne. It's going to be great.
What was the scene like then in Echuca?
4 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, there was nothing, but I did a competition called Class Clowns, which is like stand-up competition for people in high school. I did that and then maybe like 2-3 gigs in the year after I did that before I moved to Melbourne, just where people were like, oh, you do stand-up, let's put on a thing.
Right on. So in that Class Clowns gig, how did you go developing your material for that? Was it like a 5-minute set?
Yeah, 5 minutes. I have no idea. I look back on the jokes that I did then, and even when I started stand-up in Melbourne and stuff, I was like, what? Why would I ever say these things? Was I a maniac? Well, I mean, I kind of was. I was 17 when I first started, so like, what salient thoughts are you having at that age? You
know what true, I mean? True, yeah.
Nothing good's coming out. It was a lot of me talking about Safeway, me talking about, I don't know, dumb stuff, dumb puns, whatever's funny when you're 17.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But so did you do that thing of like, I guess you didn't have... weren't able to try that material on anyone. Did you try it on your friends or anything?
Yeah, me and another friend who we did Class Clowns together, we would sort of try out stuff on each other before we did it at the little competition, and then we did it together.
And how did
And he didn't get through.
Oh, he didn't get through.
And I did get through.
bitterness. How was that? Yeah, how was that coffee
you
after?
Still bring it up?
Yeah.
Yes.
You've earned it.
Every time I see him.
Do they still do stand-up?
Every now and then, but not super regularly, but sometimes. He sort of goes between Echuca and Melbourne now, so it's hard to get a rhythm going. You know?
Okay, yeah. Sure. Yeah, true. So when you moved down to Melbourne, what was the scene like then? Did you just dive straight into it and go around all the open mics?
Pretty much. It was sort of, it was smaller then than it is now. There's way more like open mics and stuff where you can do it on no notice, but pretty much straight away you can jump into doing like 2 or 3 gigs a week and they suck, but I was all about it. I was like, I'd been like sort of researching the lifestyle or whatever, if that makes sense, and I was like, yeah, this is perfect. I love bombing. This is great.
That's how you learn. Yes.
Oh yeah, for sure. Give me the bombs.
Yeah, that's right. We were there, you followed us one night at Mad Dog.
Really?
Yeah, yes. At Mad Dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I do remember this. When was this? Maybe 2 years ago or something?
No, last year.
Last year,
yeah. And it was a great moment because you just went into your material, before you went into your material, and then you gave us like a little bit of a nod, a head nod, and we both nodded back at you at the same time, and we had a moment, Luca. It was amazing.
I do remember that because to this day, brought it up just then, I didn't realize that was you guys, but I do remember that.
That's fascinating. That's really funny.
But I do still talk about that because that's like the only funny like comedy duo that I've ever seen.
Wow.
And it was actually
thank you, Luca.
I'm getting feels. It's the time of night for it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
At 40 past 12.
Yeah, yeah. 40 past 12, guys. But because I feel like a lot of comedy duos that are birthed, it's two stand-ups that then try to do stuff together. And the dynamic of that doesn't really work, I guess. Because they're both used to being like the number one or whatever. But I don't know if that's what you guys did, but you had a way more natural dynamic where it was like give and take and back and forth. And yeah, I still to this day go, man, I saw this really funny duo at Mad Dog of all places. I wonder where they are.
And
that's amazing. That's amazing. Hopefully, yeah, yeah. Hopefully, we made ripples in the Melbourne
My
comedy scene
thing
with
about
that. Yeah,
that is for the same 5 minutes we get two beers. So
that's right. Yeah, 10 minutes. Yeah, 10
breaking
minutes.
The system. Yeah.
That is a sweet cheat.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's actually yeah.
Does everyone get a beer if you have like a 10-person improv group or something? Like,
we'll have to find out.
I think you can. I think if you just bring a dog that dances, I think you immediately get a beer.
Well,
I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
I've only been there on a Tuesday.
Mike Barnes, shout us out if you are. Yeah.
Barnesy. Australia's favourite Barnesy.
So you've been in stand-up 4 years then?
Yeah, 4.5 or so. It was like the start of 2013 when I started.
Wow, okay. So how were you getting into the, like, in the Melbourne comedy scene itself? Like, so you... I would say you like you want one of the best in the Melbourne comedy scene.
Oh, that's so nice,
right now.
You boys.
I guess the developmental, like, were you? You said 3 times a week you're going up.
Yeah, yeah, that was like when I first started. I try to go up anywhere between like 7 and 10 times a week now.
Wow,
because it's possible to do that, and also just like I think the more you do it, the better you get.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm not very good at stand up, if that makes sense, or at least like. I feel like there's some people who are really great at it straight out of the gates and they know how to write jokes and be on stage and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was so bad when I started and it's like the only way I've been able to get better consistently is to just keep going up as much as I can.
Yeah.
It makes all the difference.
So, because I mean, like when we saw you, like the stage presence, you had it all there, you know, like it was all there. But was that like a slow build up? Like,
yeah,
you know,
I guess
like getting over that. You know, having that stage presence and owning that stage and being...
I guess so. I'm not that conscious of it, but then, like, if I ever listen back to a set from a few years ago or just think back to it, it's just, like, I guess the time that you spend on stage, you just get more comfortable up there.
It would have been tough for you, though, at 17, especially, like, trying to start that.
Yeah, yeah. I've got no recordings of those first ones, which I regret, because I would love to see, like... Because when you're 17, you're just nervous as a person.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Let alone being on stage in front of other people. Just as a guy, you're like, everything's sticky. You know what I mean? I would love to know what it was like. But I'm sure that, I was super nervous and, you know, I seemed tiny up there.
Do you keep any notes? Like, do you have any old material written down?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I record pretty much every gig that I do. Maybe not all of them, but probably 80% or so.
Audio record, or have you made the jump to video recording?
Oh, I've videoed a couple, but not as many as I would like. Okay, I'd love to have a nice piece of footage out there.
Yeah, yeah, put it on the reel.
Reel. I love that reel. Keep it real, brother. But yeah, like whenever I try to write and stuff, I'll just punch it in my phone, and then whenever I get time, maybe once or twice a week, I'll go write it out properly in a notebook and stuff. I've still got all the old notebooks and that. And most of it sucks and is different to stuff that I would do now. But sometimes you go back through there and see, like, an idea that's worth bringing back
bring
to
it
life.
Back.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's been long enough. So you can bring it out of the grave.
Because you, like, have it back in the day when you... It's still a good idea, but you're not really a good enough stand-up to make it work.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get those chops.
Yeah.
You develop some chops.
It's all about the chops, man.
Yeah, yeah. Then you can make it happen.
So you then write all your notes you're like a phone guy with the notes?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Just in my little note section.
Okay, yeah.
Just a few lines whenever I think of it.
Okay, so it's a few lines, and then you'll go and like write out the full thing. Are you writing like word for word what you'll say?
No, not really. Sometimes I do if I think it's one that needs to be worded like specifically, and there are some lines like that, but never a full, if it's like a 3-minute bit or whatever, it won't be all word
set
for
up,
word.
Punchline, bam.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, okay.
But I'll write like, you know, the outline of the idea and then the specific lines that I want to put in there.
Okay. Can you ever go up on stage? Do you have that comfortability now? Is that a word? I don't know.
Comfort. It's just comfort.
Just comfort. Okay. Yeah. Do you have the comfort on... Thank you, fact checker.
That's okay.
do you have the comfort on stage now to be able to go up there with a sort of a half-baked idea and work out the punchline or work out the funny up there?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah? I think I'm way better at doing that than I am at actually writing.
Interesting.
Because I'll sort of know where I wanted to start and end, but don't really know what to put in the middle. But I guess if I'm put under the pressure of being on stage or something like that, I can always come up with better lines and better directions for
it. More reflex.
Yeah, yeah. On stage than I can if I'm sitting down trying to write.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, wow. So have you been doing like the fringes or the comedy festivals over the four over the 4 years of doing stand-up?
I've done heaps. I think every year since I started, I've done Melbourne Comedy Festival, either with like a split show or with a solo show the last 2 years. Yeah. And I've done Adelaide Fringe like 3 times.
Wow.
And then did Perth Fringe for the first time last year.
Wow.
And then all that stuff's coming up again soon, so it's on.
So how was the first ever Melbourne Comedy Festival you did?
I remember it being good. I'm sure I was pretty bad at stand-up and stuff, but just so exciting to be a part of it, because like...
Yeah.
I don't know if many people know, but I didn't know before I got into stand-up that you could just do it. Like, if you find a venue and, you know, register and pay the money and stuff, you can just do it. Mm. And it feels so sweet to just be in the festival and you get your little face in the guy and everything.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's like, oh, I'm a part of it. Even though there's 4 people coming to the show, it's like, yes.
And you're losing money. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I guess it's all part of the experience, right? That's
I guess so.
Yeah. But so were you part of a showcase when you first did the...
Yeah, the first 2 shows that I did, maybe even 3. No, just 2, I think. It was me and this guy called Blake Freeman, who we still do heaps of shows together and stuff. And yeah, we're great mates, so we did a little split show half the time each.
Right, right.
It was super fun.
So, half an hour set each?
Yeah, the first one we did at a venue where the slots were only 30 minutes, so we only had to do 15 minutes each.
Right, right.
And then the year after that, we did like half an hour each.
Okay. And what's the... This is something that we've always talked about. How do you like decide how much you're going to charge people? Is it like you go on like a self-worth thing, or do you go like, you know, who's going to come out and, you know, like...
Yeah, or is it just the break-even, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's so much to take into account, though.
It's sort of a balance between everything, because you don't want to be, well, I don't want to anyway, price myself above a show that...
Yeah.
I think is better than mine, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
If you see someone awesome who has their show for like $20 or whatever, you don't be like, oh, 25, just so I can make the money back.
Yeah.
Just because I don't know what it is about me, but I can't do that.
Yeah.
So I've always had pretty cheap tickets, I think, relative to a lot of other shows. But yeah, I remember when me and Blake did it together, we were just like, well, let's go, you know, on the lower end of the spectrum, but, you know, not too free. You want it, we'll weed it anyway, so that if you can sell... You know, you don't have to sell out every night to break even,
or to
make money.
Yeah,
if you have like reasonable sales, you don't want to charge like $50. So if you got 2 people each night, you're still making money, because that's a massive cheat. But and only your mum and dad will come.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
But yeah, some balance between all those things where it's like you've got to make money, but then also don't want to overcharge for the show.
Okay.
And also, how much do I think I'm worth?
All right. Well, while we work on the books,
balance them.
Yeah, you got to balance them. You'll be listening to this. And Luca Muller is still here in the studio. He decided to, you know, stick around for that song because it was a fantastic song.
He was breaking it down.
Breaking it down. You were doing some really serious dance moves there that I had no idea about.
I got moves. Yeah. I cut a rug.
I don't know. There was some like hand movements, and then all of a sudden you, like, it looked like a worm, but it looked like a variation of the worm. Do you have a name for it?
Yeah, I call it Worm 2000.
Oh.
The update.
Yeah. The update. Yep, that's right. Okay.
It's been around a while, but...
2000-year-old man.
Yes. No, 17 years. But I kicked it off right as the Y2K bug was coming in. I thought, enough
good
bugs.
Time. Yeah,
how about
time.
The worm?
The computers finally clocked over on that one.
They did.
But so we were talking about comedy festivals. And so are you going to do the Fringe this year?
I'm in the middle of it right now.
Right now. It started already.
Well, I think it officially starts maybe tomorrow
on the 15th or
something. But my show started last weekend for some reason.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Outside of the Fringe.
Yeah,
that's
I guess
fringe.
So. It's not like officially registered or anything, so maybe I shouldn't say that it is a Fringe show, but it's on at the same
It's some sort of haircut. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's a bang. It's a Melbourne Bangs festival.
So come on down.
Got strawberry kisses for everybody.
What? Okay, so you started last week the show then?
Yeah,
so,
on Saturday. It's only on. It was on last Saturday. Now it's on Friday, Saturday this weekend, and Friday, Saturday next weekend.
Oh, okay, so what's the? How's that been going?
Oh, the first one was awesome. Yep. It's a show called The Gong Show, which I do every month anyway, just through the year at Club Voltaire, but it's at the Imperial Hotel during Fringe, and it's like I host it, and I have 2 other comedians on as little guest judges, and then there's a DJ called Tim Clark, who's also a comedian. We do it all together, and like comics come up and do, you know, 90 seconds, 2 minutes of material before they get gonged.
Oof.
And then we like pretty much roast them after they get gonged. It's great.
That's awesome. Okay, so you only have 2 minutes though.
Well, you get 90 seconds at least, and then after that you can get gonged.
So, okay. Oh, right.
Because you don't want to...
A 90-second grace period, essentially.
Yeah. Okay, that's exactly okay. Right. Because I was like, I don't want to open up the gonging straight away, because some people...
Yeah, like long form.
Yeah. Some people aren't coming out of the gates strong. Some people aren't coming out of the gates at all, but you've got to give them a chance.
Yeah, it was the bloody dick jokes and stuff. Yeah, I don't know if I... Yeah,
we can... You can do a lot in 90 seconds.
That's true. I'm sorry. You can say dick a lot of times in 90 seconds.
Oh, yeah. You guys should bring back the duo for the gong show.
Yeah, I think we'll be gonged, within that 90 seconds.
91 seconds. Yeah. It has happened before.
Really?
Sometimes
you want to name some names?
No. You got to come see the show. But sometimes old gong man gets pretty impatient.
Oh, wow. So do you ever, do the judges ever get up after?
No, I was thinking about doing that, though. I thought it would be a good idea just to, sort of prove that they're funny in the first place.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
But sometimes it runs a bit short on time, especially during Fringe, because you have to do it within, a lot of time. But I think when I take it back to Club Voltaire after Fringe, it'll be, the judges do a set as well.
That's a good idea. I like it. So you're right in the middle of the... Well, we won't call it Fringe. We'll call it your show.
Mm-hmm.
Your show. So you're running Friday, Saturday nights.
Yep.
Okay, so who? What sort of lineups are coming up?
What do we got? Tomorrow night is, me and Tim are on every week or every time. And
is he on the decks the whole time?
We set up together this soundboard thing with all these crazy sound effects, he also controls the gong and he has a mic and stuff.
And how much did that gong cost?
An embarrassingly large amount.
Really?
See if you can guess. It's maybe about this, about 30 centimeters, diameter.
Is that an order online job? Or is that
It wasn't. I thought it was going to be, but I went to a few different music shops and ended up at a drum store in Essendon. And how much do you reckon? About a 30. If it helps at all, there were three different types of gongs there. Small, medium, and large.
Okay, sizing, yep.
And this was medium.
This is medium. Okay, wow. So we're in the mid-range. We're in the mid-range here. We're looking at a Toyota. Of the gongs.
Alright, well, do you want to go over under?
I'm going to say under 300.
Alright, I'll go over 300.
It was $170.
Ridiculous. Who's paying $100?
I mean, me.
Bang it at people.
And
that's the satisfaction.
That's right. And how long have you been doing the gong show now?
A year. One that I did last Saturday was actually the 1 year anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. So, congratulations.
And so it has... It's paid itself off
now. Exactly. Yeah, that's
great. Yeah. But it took a few... When it didn't pay itself off after the first show, I was like, is this a mistake?
Oh, well, it still would have made a good ornament in the house, right?
I guess so. How small is the small one if that one's only...
Like a desk size, like a USB?
They didn't have it there because they just had that one on the shelf and then they said gong available in small, medium, large. And I was like... This has got to be the small one, right? So he was like, So I don't know how small the small one is. Or how much it is.
And I imagine the big one's is huge, 6 foot FOP.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, the big one I think was, about a meter or something. And that was $600 or something.
Oh, wow.
Crazy.
So who are your comedy heroes? Who do you look up to?
Who do I like? I like so many comedians.
Yeah.
When I was first getting into it, a lot of people are, I was a big fan of Louis C.K.
Yeah.
And I still think he's awesome and stuff, but he's also a great gateway to so many other people.
Mm.
I'm a big fan now of Pete Holmes. I think Pete Notaro is awesome.
Crashing? Have you seen his show, Crashing?
I have seen Crashing. Yeah. It's a great show.
Great show, huh?
It's a very good show. I like T.J. Miller a lot.
T.J., yeah.
I like... Who else do I like? Maria Bamford is hilarious.
Maria, yeah.
For some reason, when I was first getting into stand-up, I just Googled stand-up comedy albums.
Yep.
And I downloaded this massive thing off the Pirate Bay. Rest in peace.
Yeah,
never forget.
Yeah, never forget.
One of the greatest websites there ever was. But it had 10 albums, and four of them were Maria Bamford albums.
Wow.
So I've been obsessed with her.
Who else was on there?
I remember there was Mitch Hedberg in there, is great. There was a Stephen Wright, who's great.
Yeah.
There was Patton Oswalt, who's also great.
Yeah.
A lot of greats.
Was like Attell on there or anything?
He is very funny, that guy. He's just a master of joke writing.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen his latest, I think it was his latest special.
That's so funny. And it's so cool how it's shot as well, with the people in the crowd and stuff.
Yeah, right.
I love all that, where people shoot stuff in different ways, and it's very exciting.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of writing for anyone, for writing on a show? Has that?
I would love to. Yeah? I've thought of it often, but
have you
thoughts do not make reality.
Is that thing where you have you written a packet or anything like that? Or
no, I haven't. Maybe I should do that. because it always seemed really like inaccessible in some sort of way. It was like, oh, that's years away. I'll do it one day.
Okay.
But now, like, I've got a few friends who write for like McAuliffe and for the project and stuff. Yep. And so, yeah, I mean, that's a good idea. I'll go, hey, guys.
Yeah. Give us the number.
What about this? What's McAuliffe's number? What's his
direct
address?
Line? Yeah, yeah. Well, Fleety, what a mate. He gave us his number.
Oh, really?
That was the first ever, you know, little number that we got. But anyway, that didn't. Let's not talk about that.
You mean Fleety was unreliable?
Yeah, unfortunately. But that's all right. That's hopefully we'll have him back. You know, but
sorry, look, boys. It's part of. It's like it's a rite of passage in the comedy world is to be
unreliable. Yeah, yeah.
Well, is to be unreliable too by Fleety.
Yeah. That's fair enough. That's cool. But
he's a nice guy.
We'll see him. We'll see him through Comedy Festival anyway.
Yep, he'll be around.
You know, yeah, he'll definitely. Be around.
He's around.
So in the last 4 years, what sort of, so you would have seen yourself I guess make big strides. What are the biggest moments you'd say that sort of made it for you? You know what I mean?
Biggest like moments. I remember when first time we did a solo show, so that was last year, 2016, at a comedy festival. That was pretty crazy because I went into it thinking, I want to do this, I don't know how it's going to work out. And then it worked out pretty well. I got some nice reviews and cool people came to see the show and said nice things and stuff.
Right on.
And so that felt massive. It's just a part of like the thing along the way, but that definitely felt like, all right, maybe I can
that encouragement.
Take a breath, pat myself on the back, which is, I don't love doing that, but it felt good to do after that show.
Yeah, that's awesome. But the good parts, what about the worst heckles? The worst, like, will you engage? Do you go with stock lines? Do you engage with the...
I engage. I love a chat.
Kiss your mother with that mouth.
Really?
I don't know about stock lines and stuff, just because other people, you know, if you've heard it before, don't say it.
That won't work, yeah.
But, yeah, I love that stuff. Sometimes it gets crazy out of hand. There was one a few weeks ago at a place called The Attic, which I'm actually going
to... Yeah, The Attic. Free popcorn.
Yeah, free popcorn. I'm going there tonight. I was there before this.
Just come from there. Yeah.
It's pretty late. It's pretty late, yeah.
I jumped in my DeLorean and I'm heading back. There was this guy who... Because I think it's, like, pretty fun. Sometimes it's you can't handle it well and stuff. But this guy was just too drunk to even be... like a player in the sport, you know what I mean?
Because
it's like tennis. There's like you hit them to them, they get back to you. It's like a nice back and forth
it's like
and
an
stuff.
Outwit line,
but this guy would just yell like, "Bam!" And then you'd be like, "Oh yeah,
nothing to work."
What's
from.
Your name, man? And he'd be like, "It's like, oh, okay, well,
damn,
this is just you're a brick wall of a person."
Yeah. Oh wow, I never realized that. The brick wall to heckling is being absolutely inaudible.
Yeah.
Not actually saying words.
Unresponsive.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I never realized that. Okay.
Because that's the best way to deal with it, I found anyway, is to try to, you know, ask
shut them down.
Questions and then you can get in some good lines and stuff.
Have you ever done that? Well, why don't you come up on stage and try that out up here?
I haven't because I'm terrified that they will and they'll be hilarious.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I can't have them then start comedy after that and then they come on a show like this and you guys are like, "So what got you into stand up?" They're like, "Well, there was this real garbage guy."
But I mean, I feel like 9 times out of 10 it will always fall flat on its face. Like, I feel like there's only one YouTube video where it's like, "Oh, he actually did well."
Yeah, from that. Yeah.
He's already a comedian.
Yeah, so. That's right, you know. And exactly, it was a plant or something. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so, you know, it's like whenever, like we've seen at the Mad Dog, you know, whenever someone thinks they're, you know, good and they want to go up or whatever.
Mm. They end up freestyle rapping.
Yeah. This guy happened
just like 2 weeks ago at the Mad Dog.
Probably the same guy. But look, we're running out of time here. Uh-huh. So, So the Gong Show, it's happening.
Come to that
Friday, Saturdays.
Saturdays, 10:30.
10:30, right.
At the Imperial Hotel.
Oh, that's a good spot.
And there's also a podcast of it if you want to listen to that.
Oh, right on.
Just search the Gongcast with me, Luca Muller.
Of the actual shows?
Yep, of the live shows.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, so search Gongcast on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And can the people get you on the Facebooks and the Twitters?
Yeah, just Luca C. Muller on everything.
Right. Luca C. Muller.
Instagram. Yeah, because Luca Muller is like this 20-year-old Insta babe from Brisbane.
Really?
Yeah, you know, like this girl who posts, you know, bikini pics and gets free product off people and stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because I was going to go with the, are you going to buy it off online? But they're...
Yeah, I thought about it, but she's way more successful than me.
Wow, okay. She's buying Luca C. Muller off you.
Yeah. She wants to drive us all out of the market.
What's the C for?
Cameron.
Cameron. Ooh. Luca Cameron Muller. I like that. I like the sound of that.
You could have said comedy.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
It's important. Yeah.
Well, I will from
it's
now
like
on.
That's a Dangerfield line or something. That's it. Yeah. I ain't got no respect. All right. but thank you so much for coming down, Luca.
Hey,
I really appreciate it.
Guys.
And look, it'd be great to come down to the Gong Show.
Yeah.
Would love to see you at the Gong Show.
Please.
But thank you so much, Luca, again. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to Laugh Out Proud.
ZNJ.
On Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.